Hello, everybody. It's opening up Colorado Day, at least restaurants, and I rail through. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice website we check every day. Really, particularly now that the state legislature, this is also, they've gone into session. No matter, the Democrats are like, oh, we're all going to die from coronavirus. But if you are, I want to testify about a bill or something that's coming up, you have to go to the Capitol. Yeah. You have to go to the Capitol. So that's the way that is. Lots to talk about today. I see we're going to have Dr. Brian Jundep with his latest column at American Thinker, cooking the books regarding COVID-19. We're also going to talk about breaking news on would-be senator, used to would-be presidential candidate John Hickenlooper. The Independent Ethics Commission says he has to show up. He said it was way too dangerous for him to show up to testify about the ethics complaints about him. They said, no, it's not. He's like, I'll give you some written testimony.
Lawyers will give you some.
Yeah, my lawyer, which you, by the way, taxpayers are paying for.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. And then this is outrageous situation and alarming on so many levels. Of Twitter censoring the president on all mail ballots. So a ton of stuff going on.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking about our other sponsors, Synergenics and Julie McCallum, and how to control your entire feeling and youth. And age is just a feeling. It shouldn't be just a number.
And now we are joined, I see, live with Dr. Brian Jundep. Are you in Seattle?
Where are you? Venice, Italy?
I'm in Auckland, New Zealand. How's that?
There you go.
Wow.
There you go. For folks don't know, it's kind of fun. You can do any number of things with Zoom. We encourage you to get to the Zoom. Just go to BBS Radio, or just go to chuckandjulie.com, and that'll send you where you need to go. We had the other day, we had a guest on, and he had cows in the background for no particular reason. So I'm glad you're in New Zealand there.
next time I'll have myself at a Trump rally.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Well. Dr. Jundep is an ophthalmologist and has a very busy practice, although we don't know how he gets any patients in because he's an incredibly prolific writer. An American thinker.
He writes in the morning and in the evening.
Well,
you
must. It's incredible. You're wonderful. He has a new one that was heading American Thinker, Cooking the Books on COVID-19 Deaths. And boy, ain't that the truth.
Yes. Well,
you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, well, let me start off with one of the points I think you made very well. I mean, and you are actually like a medical doctor too, right? You're not like a doctor of philosophy or something. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's what an ophthalmologist is.
Dr. Covefi.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you mentioned that there are, when you get right down to it, basically two things really that people die of, right? Your heart stops or your lungs stop, one way or the other, right?
Yeah, basically. People don't die of kidney failure per se, or cancer per se. It's the final stage is your heart stops.
Okay.
Or your lungs stop. You're not oxygenating, so they can go hand in hand.
On the other hand, though, it does seem we've seen increasingly where in Colorado, for instance, they had to magically erase a bunch. Like I keep saying, it's like Monty Python. I'm not dead yet. You know, they weren't actually COVID-19 deaths. Didn't have anything to do with COVID-19. We've seen in.
But you have to remember that has not been adjusted like the Worldometer and the other national scales that, going over 100,000, which the Democrats are celebrating so much about. Those are uncorrected. It doesn't matter if the state said, well, okay, we cheated by 400 of them. Nah, so what? That's good enough
for
us.
But they take people who've been murdered. So why don't you talk to us? I mean, you did a lot of research there that you talk about in your column. What do you mean cooking the books?
Well, the difference is deaths with coronavirus or deaths from coronavirus. And unfortunately, a lot of deaths that are unrelated to coronavirus are only partially related or being classified. New York, for example, if they presume the death is from coronavirus, that's good enough. They don't need a test. They don't need a nasal swab that says, yes, you have it right now. So they can presume it. So somebody that has a flu that's not COVID related, that has pneumonia, that has end-stage emphysema, COPD, that dies, cancer, they can presume it's COVID death. Or they can test them, and it incidentally comes out positive, and they'll say, yes, it's a COVID death. And even Dr. Birx, the scarf queen, said that the CDC is off by at least 25%. And if she's saying that, they're off by at least 50%.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, when yeah, when you're saying something like,
that's part of her club.
Right. And if you're saying they're off by 25%, what you're actually really saying, it's kind of like the models, right? We're way off by more than 25%. It's like, we don't know. We're just taking deaths and we're just recalling them. And like you said, presuming there's no actual definition or sort of some sort of explanation about when you should presume and when you shouldn't. We've seen a presuming gunshot wounds basically as a cause of death being coronavirus
massive
related.
Alcohol,
right.
But
a guy that had alcohol poisoning, 7 times the legal limit, happened to test positive. But so what? That doesn't mean he died from it.
Right.
Well, as you've said before, lots of people die. Lots of men die with prostate cancer. That doesn't mean they died from prostate
Correct.
Cancer.
That's exactly right. Or, you know, you have a glass of wine or a beer and you go driving and somebody plows into you and you die. You have alcohol in your system or, you know, marijuana from a week ago. You have a little
right.
bit in your system. That doesn't mean you died of it.
Well, the head of the Imperial College, Mr. Ferguson, indicated he thought that 2/3 of the deaths are people who would be dead within a year anyway. So we've decided to bankrupt and destroy all those people who will be here a year from now in order to try to save a few, some percentage of the people who none of which will be here a year from now. I mean, it's an amazing inverse pyramid that, but you know, you got to destroy the healthy in order to allow the unhealthy to live another 30 days.
I'll take disagreement with you on one point. It's not to save anybody. This is all about the election.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Well, in theory, then you're right.
The Democrats don't give a whit about the suicides, the alcohol abuse, the depression, the domestic violence, the generalized despair of 20-30% unemployment. People that have lost their jobs, have lost their sustenance, have lost their businesses, their life savings. Nobody cares about that. I'm not hearing
no.
them talk about it. Finally, no. Fauci mentioned it and said, "Hey, there's a social cost to this keeping things."
Yeah,
going.
After months of not mentioning
like
it,
like Michael Towns says, death by Fauci.
Yeah, death by Fauci. One day he gets up there, just like the mask. No, the mask do you no good. No, you must wear the mask. And then it's
so the broken clock that's correct once a day. He had his moment.
Twice a day.
Hey, Dr. Jundub, I don't know. Can you? Our producers are saying. I don't know if you can. Can you turn your microphone level up? Can you do that? You're kind of low. I don't know if you can do that or not.
You're asking hard questions here.
I know. I'm sorry. I know.
He may have a medical degree. He may be one of the great prolific writers, but you're asking him something beyond his capability.
That's right. Well, send a 12-year-old over to help you. Now, if you can't, don't worry about it. I wasn't sure if it was our computer or there. Well, let me back, because I think what you're saying is really important, some of the medical points you've made. And that is, you know, they don't do this with other things. They don't, just because you have alcohol in your system, if you die in an accident, they don't say that it was caused by alcohol.
They do if it registers a certain
Well, but what I mean, though, is, I mean, it has to do with the circumstances surrounding it. But there's, you know, you're not...
Yeah, if you're run into by somebody else,
right,
maybe
somebody
not.
Crashes into you, and it may not be impaired, right? It may not even reach that limit. And they don't do it with other kinds of, like you said, prostate cancer, right? They don't say, oh, he died from prostate cancer, cause of death. Let's talk a little bit about, because I think you're right on the head, the reason that they're doing this in this case, and they being the progressive Dems and the corporate media, is because they're hoping that it's all going to hurt Trump, and that's all they care about.
This is all about the election. It's been about the election. You look at the curious timing of what the WHO was saying in conjunction with impeachment, and the timing is more than coincidental. But to me, this is just the latest chapter. You know, Stormy Daniels and Avenatti and Mueller and Ukraine and impeachment, and now this. And this is a way to derail what was looking like Trump's likely reelection. The economy was going gangbusters and he was getting most of his agenda done. And
well, it's also to get cheap by mail.
They've got a clown as a candidate on the other side.
Right.
No, they can't even drag across the finish line. They need something. And this is perfect. What a good way to shut down the economy. That's Trump's primary accomplishment. What else? It keeps the Trump rallies from happening.
Right.
Biden sequestered in his basement. He says, well, he can't go out. So he comes out, and he's, you know, wearing this huge mask like Fauci. And that's his only appearance in the past 2 months. Otherwise, he's hiding in his basement.
Today he gave a great talk today where he said he's going to make sure that he's able to beat Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And somebody had to remind him that he is Joe Biden. Excuse me. I knew that, I think.
He's that racist guy.
That's right. That's right. Well, but here's the other thing. I mean, and I'm alone, you know, I'm the boy singing, you know, in the crowd saying the emperor has no clothes. Cheat by mail guarantees.
Wait, I was saying that before you were saying that.
No, you were not. cheat by mail will make no Republican in Colorado can ever win with cheat by mail. They will never win a statewide office absent, you know, just an absolute landslide of some sort. And people don't get it. I mean, we had Dick Wadhams on. Oh, no, that's not a problem. We handled that in 2014. And I've had lots of Republicans coming on. I mean, Tom Tancredo going, oh, man, I can't believe how the Colorado voters have turned so far left. You go, no, Tom, they didn't go all left. I mean, there has been some people moving in, which is slightly even the numbers. But you lost. Republicans lost because cheat by mail is unbelievably effective. Unbelievably effective. And yet the Republicans in Colorado just go, problem.
You're nodding your head there, because I've been saying this.
That's why the Republicans in Colorado don't control anything.
Yeah. Right.
They're basically irrelevant. They're like the Republicans in Congress, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, in the 1980s. I mean, they're happy with their status, or at least some of them are. And they just don't understand when the Democrats go to a nursing home and pick up 300 votes. Well, that's 300-0 at that place. And while Republicans tend to be fastidious about rules, Democrats think of anything that stops them from jamming in another vote is a form of voter suppression. They lie, they cheat, they steal, but they don't have to. With vote by mail, just by the fact that you can get people who had no interest in voting and wouldn't vote, you can get to them, watch them check off the boxes, seal it up, and take that ballot with them. They will win. They will win.
Absolutely.
And Republicans in Colorado.
The good thing, Trump's aware of this. He's been hinting at it, not even hinting.
Right.
He's been very explicit about it, to the point that, you know, Twitter is fact-checking it.
Yeah, right.
Twitter that let people talk about Russian collusion for 3 years without fact-checking that.
Right.
Knowing it was all false.
Right. Well, and even, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but
reports of, you know, mail-in ballot fraud in Philadelphia and Virginia here and there, we're seeing reports. So I don't think it'll happen. I think Trump will put an end to it, because he knows the stakes. He's been there long enough. He knows, he's talked about it. He knows that it's a big problem for him if it happens. How they'll stop it, I don't know.
The Denver Post had said, you know, Colorado's vote by mail, vote at home, is very popular. Popular, you know. And the reason they say that is because not one Republican in the state has kind of go, this is a crooked system, and maybe we shouldn't even compete in it, because you're not going to win Republicans on a statewide ballot. You're just not. And none of them get it. You know, Cory Gardner is lost. I mean, you know, somebody kind of go, tick, 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 tick.
Colorado Republicans have a death wish. They're happy to remain in the minority. They, you know, they're going to lose.
They spend all their time attacking their own GOP chairman. I mean, Eli Bremer, all the rest of them. They're not attacking the Democratic state chair. They're attacking the Republican state chair.
All right, and let me get, because we were going to get into that in a little bit more detail here after Dr. Judah.
Like Mitt Romney spent far more energy attacking Trump than he did Obama when he was running.
And he's still doing it.
And he's for vote by mail.
Yeah.
He came out saying, oh, it's great.
Let me ask you, Dr. Joondep, let's talk a little bit doctory stuff. I know, I mean, you know, because we have a 9-year-old, right? So, and me, like a lot of parents, are waiting anxious to see, please, schools, don't screw us over and say we have to, like, you know, continue that worthless, maybe not worthless, but all but worthless. Close to worthless. Yeah, online learning here, because all our son has done is become extremely proficient at Fortnite and other video games. But what, so, you know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, the virus may come back in the fall, because it always does. So we're going to have to keep everything closed. What, I mean, I personally don't think that's going to work, because I think people are going to be so sick of it, and they're going to be so upset that the people have had to close their business that they're not going to do again. But what are you, looking into your crystal ball, what do you see?
Well, first of all, your kid being good at video games, he might be a surgeon, because that seems to be a predictive factor for becoming a good surgeon. So
there you go.
You want to have, you know, son is a brain surgeon, let him keep playing.
There you go.
But yes, I think the schools will open. Polis has said as much. I heard him say he expects about 80% of students to be in class and 20% not. So the kids that are at high risk or have high risk parents or grandparents, where the family makes a decision to homeschool the kid for the semester, that's fine. That makes good sense. Most of them should go back, and I expect that the virus, I think, will burn itself out. I don't think we're going to have a big surge. There are going to be occasional hot spots, but the numbers are going down everywhere. These viruses seem to follow a six-week course. You know, go up, they peak, and then they peter out and disappear, and that's what the other similar type viruses have done.
Well, and they also mutate, and usually most mutations are less deadly, because really the virus is not trying to kill the host, they're just trying to live in the host. And right. So most of the mutations are benign. In fact, they're less deadly. Every once in a while, and that was the Spanish influenza, it came back that fall, and it came twice as deadly, or 10 times as deadly, or some number of times deadly, and that's always possible. It's always possible it can mutate and become more deadly. It can.
Well, I mean, or there could be a whole new something, too, because, I mean, that's what I think, that there are going to be people, and I just don't think people are going to buy it. I think if you're a restaurant, right, you're just going to finally get geared open. Hopefully they'll drop this ridiculous restriction that you can only have 50 people. I was reading some restaurant, they normally seat like 500, right? And that's what they need to make money. And they can seat 50 people. The guy's like, we're not opening. I mean, it's
won't open. That's the problem. A lot of those restaurants, it's going to be an economic decision. It's like flying a 777 jet with 25 people on board. You can't. That's a money-losing proposition. Even if the 25 people are in first class, you're still going to lose money with flight attendants and fuel and everything else. So if a restaurant can't open to a certain level, they will lose less by staying closed. Just because the restaurants can't open doesn't mean they will.
Exactly. Right.
Well, but I guarantee you, come October, they will be flooded in the mainstream media about the fact that the coronavirus.
There's news, but it wouldn't be the
and they'll say, now this proves we can't have in-person voting. I mean, we must have vote by mail. I mean, they'll be all over it, I promise you.
Everybody can wait online at Costco and Walmart and Home Depot and the grocery store and Trader Joe's and you name it, but they can't wait online to vote.
Right. No, exactly. Well, like somebody was tweeting, we could just vote at Home Depot, you know, or at Target or something like that. Well, let me, Dr. Lett, we'll let you get going here. What are you working on? I know you're all over the place, American Thinker, other places. What are you working on? Where should folks look for you next?
Really, American Thinker is my usual. I'm there once or twice a week. I have a column in The Villager, which is the local paper. I have something on antibody testing, you know, the different tests for coronavirus, because there's a lot of confusion there.
Yeah.
Antigen test, the antibody test, what they mean, implications. Then I read today that the antibody test is wrong half the time.
Yeah.
You know, why bother?
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to test everybody. Well, so what if it's a bogus test?
Well, if you got 50% wrong, you're worse off. you're getting people who are sick who don't think they are, so they get everybody, and they have other people who think they're infected when they're not. I mean, it's just a 50%
coin. Flip a coin. Heads, you got it. Tails, you didn't get it. So
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of. All right. So thank you very much for your time. Enjoy New Zealand.
Yes.
Enjoy New Zealand. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brian June, up there. Check him out in American Thinker. He's got a lot of great columns there. Apologize a little bit for the audio.
Yeah, we'll have to get him to upgrade his audio.
Yeah, people. I think that could be the connection too. So
no, I don't think it was.
Now,
I think
so yeah, we're wanted to talk then now too about, and here we can open up to the phones, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom and you want to chime in, just go ahead and unmute your microphone or pop yourself up and we can talk about that too.
Wave your hand.
Yeah, wave your hand. So I think what we were talking about, to me, one of the most alarming things that's going on right now is the all-mail balloting, and you can, the push for that. If you haven't been following, so the president tweeted about, you know, fraudulent all-mail balloting, and then Twitter put, they censored him basically. The bottom of his tweet, they put, this has been fact-checked and it's not true. Well, Twitter's fact-check, Chuck, was with commentaries by CNN and the Washington Post. So it wasn't even actually facts. It was about commentaries. Right. They ignored other people who talked about, you know, what the president was saying. And that, I think, should show you just how concerned and how much of a push the Democrats are going to make to try to get this on my ballot. I've been saying for a while, I think I said it first, not
no,
you.
No, you didn't say it first, because
since coronavirus.
I did mail in ballots.
This is their end game, and we wanted to try to explain, and we'll talk more about it. When people talk about the fraud and the cheating, I think there is certainly a lot of room for that. But I think the bigger concern is what I would call, Chuck, wouldn't you agree, like the manipulation of the ballots. And by that, I mean, the Democrats have a much better ground game to identify voters, their likely voters, to be working with them. And I'll let you explain how you guys did it all year long. And then to be reaching out to them repeatedly come election time to make sure they fill out their ballot the way the Democrats want. And then they go back and pick the ballot up. And the Republicans have nothing like that. And that is the biggest challenge, I think. Yes, there's fraud. Yes, there's cheating. Yes, there's going into nursing homes. But even bigger than that is just this ability that the Democrats have. They have their armies of paid and unpaid volunteers with Planned Parenthood, right? You've got the teachers' unions. You've got other unions. You have all of these nonprofits that get their money from the Democrats,
right,
who the Democrats send out en masse. And they're the ones who basically find their voters and then get their ballots.
Well, yes. I mean, it one, they have the army to do it. Two, you have to realize that Republicans tend to be in rural areas or suburban areas. And if you're going to ballot harvest, it's much easier to walk into a massive apartment complex and, you know, you just take one step over and boom, as opposed
to
knock all the way through. And yes, it's not hard. You call all the voters and ask them what the key issues are to them, and then you note the, you know, open space or maybe it, God knows what it is, and then you go, hey, you know, so and so is a big candidate on open space or whatever else the person's interested in. They go, great, and, you know, could you? You have a ballot there? Great. Let's fill it out together.
Well, and it starts even before then. I mean, I remember this was back when Obama was elected. I was working at Fox 31. No, I was working at wherever I was working.
One of those TV stations.
And so we went to one of the precincts for the Democrats, right? And they were explaining to me that they had made the contact with the voters seven times in the past few months. The first, that they went and knocked on the door way before the election, just like you said, and say, what do you care about? Well, if somebody said, I care about guns, okay, they cross them off. But if somebody says, I care about paid family leave, well, then they know that that's a house to go back to. So they went seven times, and they went three times on election day. This is before all-mail ballot. They were driving people to the polls. Well, now they just show up, and all they have to do is get their ballot. I'm going to use my daughter as an example in the last presidential election. So we had no one knocking on our door from the Republican Party, even though we're both registered Republicans, right? She is, I believe she was a registered Democrat. Several times, various people came to the door.
Including
on Halloween, asking for her, wanting to know what kind of issues she cared about. She got a couple of times a week for like the last month leading up to the election, like little notices, postcards, and letters from some, what called itself a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that Ted Trump of the Democrat admitted was them, saying, oh, we're just doing surveys about why you're not voting and what your issues are, trying to guilt her into voting. Then we had people showing up to collect her ballot to say, do you know, has she voted? Has she turned her ballot in? Because we're showing she hasn't. I mean, several times they came to our door. She has a friend who's a Democrat. And this is even more, this person lived in a household where somebody had screwed up on their ballot. So it got kicked out, right? So the Democrats, again, had people show up at that house and say, hey, just so you know, the ballot got kicked out. Here's how you get a new one. We'll come back and pick it up. I mean, the Republicans have Zippo like that.
And they used to at one time. You have to remember back, I can remember an age in which the Republicans had a pretty good ground game out of churches and other groups that they could get gun rights and everything else. They gave all that up. They lost the legislature in 2012. They took it back in 2014 just because of the natural evolution of non-presidential year. And they did it, they thought, because they sent lots of mailers out. And they so if you're an establishment, you go, this is perfect. We're the only ones with money to send out mailers. And that's what we do. We just we raise lots of money. They do mailers. They make lots of money off the mailers and so forth. And then we win elections. And then, of course, they quickly found out they were losing all of them.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. The Eli Bremers and the both ways Bob Beaupre and
for a second quit hammering on the Republicans, but
You have to hammer on the Republicans.
But let me finish explaining
because they're the ones who are destroying their own party.
I mean, Colorado, it literally is the Colorado model. We've talked about this before. That's been exported, and they're trying to export it to other states because of this built-in army. I'm going to explain another example. We were down at the state capitol yesterday, right? And right across Caddy Corner from the Capitol, if you haven't been down there, like at the corner of Lincoln and Colfax, there's massive homeless tent cities are back
right?
So there's a young woman, and she's with paid family leave. She's saying, you want to sign a ballot for paid family leave. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this person?
No, she was registering.
I was going to explain. Yeah. She really doesn't care at all about paid family leave. Well, she does.
Yeah,
she does. If you want to sign it, but what she's doing is she's registering people to vote. Now, who is she registering to vote? Homeless people. Who, by definition, how do you mail a ballot to a homeless person? They're homeless, right? So you got to ask yourself, where are those ballots going? There's no signature to verify because I bet I know, but you can't. How do I say it? They go somewhere, right? So they sign the registration. But I'm saying, though, is this opens a door for so much fraud. They're registering all of these homeless people. Who knows where those ballots get mailed to? Who knows who fill those out? And even then, you could just go there and hand the ballots out and then collect them all. The rules say you can only collect 10 ballots, but follows
you that. You think they care about that? In fact, they caught them doing, collecting hundreds. And then they'd file a complaint with the DA, who's the Democrat, and you go, we don't want to suppress the vote.
And here is my big concern, because the all mail ballot, it sounds so nice. It's like, look, it's just so easy. And their next step is going to be voting online. I guarantee you that, where you just digitally vote.
Or by your phone.
Right. Or you text and vote. Nothing could go wrong there. So it's not that they're talking about people hacking into the system or the Russians or anything like that. Just that the Democrats, by the nature of their party and what they vote for and who they fund, have just such a massive advantage over Republicans. And you're absolutely right. The Republicans just seem to ignore that. They seem to pretend like it doesn't
exist.
Well,
at least on the national basis, they don't.
And no, Trump gets it. Yes.
Trump gets it, and so do various senators you don't hear talking much. And there are a lot of Republicans who do. Not Mitt Romney, of course. He thinks it's just great to vote by mail. That guy has to be, can't we do something about him?
And it's so I think we've taken it on as our mission to try to educate people about why this is so bad and so dangerous, because look what happened in 2018 in Colorado. Not a single Republican won.
And they won't win next time either.
And people were elected to office, Democrats who had no experience, who had all kinds of issues.
Well, just looking at Adams County and Arapahoe County for sheriff. The sheriffs were experienced, done a good job, everything else.
Long-term popular sheriffs.
Popular sheriffs.
Voted out.
And they all got voted out. And they were, at least in Adams County, ahead until all of a sudden at the end there's an avalanche of votes. And the avalanche of votes were, in fact, the Democrats bringing in all their ballots.
Right.
And counted at the very end. And they got, people who are incredibly unqualified. And unqualified for clerk and recorder, we found out. And unqualified, it didn't, the candidate didn't matter. And Republicans still don't get it. They just sit there, boy, Colorado's sure gone
progressive.
Right,
because let's say they knock on your door, like I said before, and you say, what do you care about? And you say, guns. Well, they don't come back and knock on your door, right?
No.
They don't come back. The trouble is the Republicans don't have anyone out there knocking on your door either. And that's
But you have to understand, it's who they get to vote. They get the because I did this,
Right.
I mean,
when you're in Glendale.
When I'm in Glendale, you'd go to a very poor neighborhood, right? Or you'd go to a nice condo one. Well, it took you an hour to convince the person at the nice condo one, if you could, that they ought to vote for this. Blah blah blah. It took a huge one. At the low end ones, they don't care. and they're happy to vote for you. You know, you invite them to a party and nice to them. Oh, sure. They just don't care. It's not in the other people did care. And so Republicans do best in places where people care. Democrats do best for this mail-in ballot where they don't care. And it's so much easier.
Right.
It is so much easier to get to somebody who just, you know, they have other problems in life. There are, you know, 10,000, you know, there are monetary ones, drug ones, anything else ones.
Well,
and it's unbelievable.
And as our producer was just saying, they think that people should hang for voter fraud. And it's a great reason to have voter ID. This is why the Democrats, and that's why it's so important we have on the Colorado ballot, the whole question of you have to be an American citizen to vote. You'd think that would be a no-brainer, but it's not. I wanted, though, to kind of segue here a little bit, too. And feel free, 888-627-6008. One of the other things I think that's pretty alarming and how much they care about this is the fact, and believe me, this is not a coincidence, that Twitter, this is the one thing they censor Trump on, right? And the one thing that they're going to ban him on. And to me, I wanted to get Chuck, you talk about this a little bit too. It is again outrageous at how Twitter and Facebook and Google send you, we've done this on our show before too, where you can Google certain things, right?
Right.
And it's certainly they manipulate what they bring up, right? They manipulate if it's anti-Trump.
I mean, one of the sites I like to look at is Gateway Pundit.
Right.
Now Gateway Pundit, they don't have the website first. 90% of the time it's either farther down or sometimes second, third, or fourth. They all often have first Wikipedia, which says it's a scam site full of conspiracy theories and everything else. You know, they control that. You know, they don't like the site. And so they attack it in lots of different kind of subtle and not so subtle ways. And what they got, you know, back in 95, they got the Federal Communications Decency Act, which says that these platforms
like a Twitter or a Facebook or Google or YouTube
can in fact exclude contact that is indecent or doesn't meet community values, and so being for Trump now doesn't meet quote-unquote community values, and so they're exempt from being sued because they're a platform and not a publisher, and that they can go ahead and do whatever they want and be as biased as they want because the 95 law specifically allows them to just say it's not.
Is it more than just lawsuit? Because I know when I worked in radio and in TV, you couldn't say we're not going to run ads for Republicans, right? Or we're not going to run ads for Democrats. If you took ads, you had to run both sides. But it seems like does this that act also give them the leeway to do exactly what they're doing, to go ahead and say no, we've determined that the Trump ad is not truthful and we fact checked it.
You could say this fails community standards, you know,
right.
And who determines the community standards?
They do.
Well, you know, the act sort of viewed it as porn, right?
And that's right. That's what they were talking about. Exactly.
But you know, it's quickly just morphed into, oh, that's not community standards.
That's right. Well, I mean, I find this too, because we do our show and then I'll post it on Facebook and I have to be really careful. I shouldn't say this, but really careful how I word the description of the show.
Don't say reopen.
Anymore, if I put the word reopen, reopen. I could talk about reopening a can of tuna or something like that, but they won't let me boost the ad. But if I keep it bland, so they're clearly, they censor you on that front. The Twitter does that too. We've seen that over and over again. And then YouTube pulls down the videos from doctors who say, it just as qualified more so, I think, than Fauci and Birx, who talk about the models are wrong. We don't need to lock down the country. In fact, lockdown is bad. Masks are bad. Those get taken down. That is also concerning to me because I think the problem is there isn't another format, right? I mean, they have a monopoly on that. But Representative Getz today, Matt Getz, is saying he's going to be introducing some legislature, which of course will get killed.
Well, it won't even come up. And he's in the House, right?
But to regulate it, to say that they...
I know, but all bills have to be approved by the Speaker.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't hit the floor. It doesn't go anywhere. And the same is in the Senate with McConnell and so forth. So Getz can have all the bills he wants unless he has a strong Democratic co-sponsor and the Speaker agrees. It's never going anywhere.
But we were talking about the fact, though, that what is really good is that Trump is now threatening to do something with regulations, right?
That's so much better if they start filing antitrust suits against him and everything else, although, you know, how much he controls the Department of Justice or anything else is pretty minimal. But that's the only chance you have is that they can be regulated or regulated to death.
But here's the other thing, though, that gives me hope. It's always positive, negative, and hope. One of the things, I thought there was a Gallup poll today that basically says nobody trusts anything in the media, mm-hmm. right? And because there is a part of me that's like, actually, I don't think Twitter needs to fact check stuff. If you're reading Twitter and for your facts and making like life decisions on,
but they have a little
Twitter
box there saying, find out the real facts.
Right, out the real facts, which then they throw you to CNN. But I think this is interesting. Essentially, nobody trusts the media on this coronavirus coverage, Chuck. 87%. Now, it depended on what party you were in and to which way you thought it went.
Yeah, right,
but 87% of the people who identified as Republicans said they felt that the media was 87%. That's 8 out of 10.
Well, who are the other 13%? What are those idiots?
Those are people who, like, they didn't know. But they say that the media, is, we'll get to them in a second, the media is causing unnecessary harm to the country by their COVID reporting. On the other hand, this blows me away, 78% of the Democrats think that the problem is much worse than the media is reporting, right? Right. That there are way more dead people and that it's way more dangerous out there.
Right.
And so they think that 78% of the Democrats think that the media is creating a public health hazard by their reporting of it.
Underreporting.
By their underreporting. Now, you got to say to me, and if anybody out there is in that, please call 888-627-6008. How anyone could think the media is underreporting this. I mean, every day it's like, oh, one dead. Oh, my God. You know, I mean,
they were apoplectic about the fact that they weren't reaching 100,000 when they thought they would. They're like, oh, my God, we're still short. Yay, we finally got 100,000 of them dead.
And the New York Times puts all their names. How can anyone in their right mind think that they're under? I'm sorry if you are. Call us and explain.
And, of course, you know, guy would have died of gunshot wounds. Right. But he's, of course.
And that was just the one we knew, right?
Yeah, right.
So they put every single name. I just want to say, did they put the name of everybody who died of the flu? No. Did they put the name of everybody who died of heart attack, cancer? No. And that's why what gets me is all of a sudden you're seeing this. We must remember the COVID victims, right? I'm like, okay, yes, it's sad and it's tragic whenever somebody dies of anything.
But not the suicides, not the bankrupt people.
Or even
not,
the cancer or people who died of a heart attack.
We have thousands
of
them.
I don't care about those people. You know, if you drown, heck with you. You don't matter.
You don't count if you drown. Unless you had COVID.
So how can anybody, even a Democrat, say to themselves, oh, they're underreporting it. They are totally underemphasizing this. I don't understand that.
Oh, they're saying out in the rural areas, people are dying. Nobody knows why.
Yeah. No, we don't even see those people. So
rural
that's just, it's insanity. But I think, though, the good news is the media.
What's the good news?
The good news is, again, the media, I think, is becoming increasingly irrelevant. And I think that probably included in that is sort of your Twitter and your Facebook, where, you know, again, if somebody is basing any kind of significant life decisions on a tweet, right?
Well, then they're basing it on something. Yes, they may not trust the mainstream media, so it can't control things quite in the way it did. But people get their information. They get it from Yahoo. Do they get it from neighbors? They get it somewhere. They form an impression of what they think from somewhere.
But I'm gonna challenge that. Here's why. Because I'm out and about a little bit more than you are. And
you're out and about. I mean, you just trips to the liquor store doesn't count being out and about.
I go to other places.
I'm out and about a lot more than you.
I went to Kohl's today. This annoyed me, and I'm sorry, Home Depot. I'm going to slam you. So I had to wait in line to get into the Home Depot. Okay, going to the Home Depot, I needed to buy some flowers, right? And so I go into the flower area, which is outside, right? So I go in the flower area, I pick all my flowers, I'm there, and then I turn around to go back in to pay for them where the cash register is, and the lady says, you can't come in, you have to go back in through the front door. I'm like, and wait in line again? And she's like, yes. Now, I realized this wasn't her fault, but I just left. So I just left. But what I was going to say, and we'll get to the phone in a second, I have noticed that there are a lot more people out. I have noticed fewer and fewer people wearing their masks.
At our favorite liquor store.
No, but... No, but I mean, just in going around, you know, I think people are getting out, the masks, people recognize, I think, that they're stupid and fewer people wearing it. But let's go to the phones right now. Let's go to Johnny
online
from Denver. Hey, Johnny.
You know, I'm wondering, because I heard that they were showing all these crowds on the beach, and then somebody who lives in that area, they said that was a videotape of last year.
There you go.
Kind of like CBS showing Italian hospitals and calling them American hospitals, huh?
This is ridiculous. Is there a way, someone who could buy a station and say, this will be the fact checking station?
Yeah, right.
So we have one resource, because people who don't, are not into it like you guys and I and others like me.
Right,
they'll look at this stuff and they'll think, "Wow, I should be afraid. Look at all those people. They're not.
No one's not a single person's wearing a mask. You know? Oh."
No, and you know what's worse about that, the way it works is for local media, so you've got some national organization that does that, and then all of the local stations around the country,
pick it up.
They just pick it up. I mean, they don't have the ability to check it, but they just trust it.
And they don't want to.
So then it gets reported all over the country, right?
Okay. And also, I want to bring up this other point. I always notice, like, around election time, they always show Black people who get either killed by police or shot. Yeah. I know there's a lot more white people in this world than us Blacks. Why don't they ever show any of those mistakes?
There was one down in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, where a guy had some sort of spray gun. He was in a hotel room, and somebody said, "There's a guy with a gun." And so they went up there and they smashed down the door and they made him crawl. And then they executed him. They literally, you know, they said, "Oh, I thought he was grabbing something," and he was in his underpants, and then they blew him away. That got no publicity.
Because he was white, right?
He was white, and the officers were white, so nobody cared. It was just like, oh, okay, but he's not Black, so it doesn't matter. And the one in Minnesota, and they had the mayor get out there, and all he could talk about was the racial identity of the officer and the victim.
Not like there might have been a question of action on the part of just the police tactics or something.
Well, you know, but it didn't matter that, you know, and if that guy who died under the tire because the police officer put his knee on his neck and for 7 minutes, if he'd been white, there'd have been nobody could care. No, and nobody cares about Black on Black violence. I mean, Chicago, you know,
that's another one. And I only learned about this. Going up to the post by listening to, I think it's Larry Elder, because yes. I was just thinking, like, you know, maybe they're telling the truth, maybe. And then he says, "Wait a minute, there's more whites," and then they show that he shows all the stats,
right.
And they, oh man, it's just very frustrating how this what do they call it, social justice,
social justice warriors, right?
Yeah, and it's like, can't we just have news?
Right.
Yeah, no.
Well,
no, you cannot.
Yeah, John, you cannot, because here's the thing. Pretty soon they're going to say you're not even allowed to think, right? It's like, you have to wear a mask. We don't care. Next, they're going to say, "I'm sorry, you aren't allowed to think or express an opinion. If you want an opinion, we'll give it to you," right? That kind of thing. So, hey, listen, thank you for your call, though. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right, guys. You keep up the good job.
Hey, okay, thank you. You too. You know, I had the same thought he did when I saw this. I'm like, all of a sudden, we're seeing – like they're going back to reporting all this racial stuff, right?
Right,
and
right.
It's like, because I think like where I was going for a second there is in my out and about and not just the liquor stores. I've noticed
pot shops.
Yeah, no. that people are not wearing masks. People are going out. It's hot. I think that's going to die a natural death. And I think
it's going to die an unnatural
death. Oh, wait, we got Barney now. Let's check in with Barney. Always appropriate. Hey, Barney, how you doing?
Hey, Julie, so you go to the pot shops too?
No, I don't go. I don't go to pot shops. I'm too old for that.
Okay. All right. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You started talking about the Minneapolis hops.
Yep.
I would just like to say I will no longer give the police the benefit of the doubt.
We never should have.
Pretty close to that anyway. But this cop had no business being on the street, not first. I don't know what in the hell they lied about it all from the start. He didn't resist arrest. He didn't write a bad check. He did. You know what? Some poor Black guy might have been a little bit drunk, and you know, I don't know. I'm sick of this. This is, you know what? Like I said, you cops, you get no more. And you know what? What really says a lot is, where are the cops that'll say something bad about these cops?
They won't. Yeah.
Nobody.
What is so hard about saying your colleague is a puke? I mean, it's real easy.
Well, they had three other guys who were watching him kill him.
The paramedics show up and act like it's no
big deal.
F them too. No big deal. Yeah, thank you. And these are frontline. Yeah, You know what?
Well, you ought to watch the police spokesman.
Because I can't watch the video, buddy.
Well, okay. Well, just watch the spokesman at the same day. Because the officers notice he's in medical distress, and so they called an ambulance. and he died of medical conditions at the hospital, unfortunately.
As opposing to dying from
unmedical
conditions.
But luckily, the police officers called the ambulance, and it worked out. I mean, honestly, there are a lot of good police officers, but you know, Bismarck said you shouldn't watch how your sausages, your laws are made. I can promise you, you do not want to see how your laws are enforced. You do not want to see that, because it is not the idea of most suburban people think, oh, this is
good.
Nice.
Barney, I think you have a really good point though. And that is, that you got to wonder, because I've covered a bazillion of these, right? And sometimes, you know, I used to be like, well, maybe not like you, but I'd say, well, we'll give the cops the benefit of the doubt. We don't know. But as the videos come out now, and a lot of times, I mean, people are bad to cops.
Yeah,
but on the
yeah,
other
yeah.
hand, but You're people right. don't Absolutely. Kill cops, right?
Sometimes
and I think anymore, I agree with you, the benefit of the doubt. But I also don't understand, just like you said, why don't the other cops come out and say, no, this was bad. This should not have happened. I agree with you on that.
Well, and I do want to see that. And, you know, I will say this. I used to have long hair. I got into a cop several times. Trust me. you will get your ass kicked if you rip your mouth with the Denver cops. Trust me. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these guys and those guys that I'm tough, and they would not have handcuffed you and then beat you up. They'd be more than happy to beat you up without the handcuffs. This is just as wrong as it gets. And I, like I said, the benefit of the doubt is gone. And yet the mayor tells the people that are protesting, keep your social distance. Yeah. These people are on crack. I mean, and by the way, Chuck, so how much is this going to cost Minneapolis? 20 million?
More or less.
Millions, at any rate. Yeah,
that's just taxpayers. You know,
look at the amount of money that other cities, even in Denver and Colorado, you're absolutely right.
They build it into the budget these days, and so it's not a problem.
I'll tell you what. I hope they do sue the hell out of them.
I'm sure they will, but that's not going to stop anything. You know, I was telling Julia.
I know it.
My father, who grew up in kind of Al Capone, Chicago, and then went to New York City and all that. He told me, look, if you get into some kind of dispute or something with the police, he said, you know, you're only 10, so take the beating. You know, they don't usually kill kids your age. And I was going, they don't kill kids my age. Okay, good. Yeah. So the next time I saw a police officer going along the street, I went, well, he probably won't kill me when he beats me. He'll probably just cripple me, maim me. But I'll be most of the time, I'll be okay.
Chicago.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was I had an uncle that was a Detroit cop. Riding for a car in the '60s. It was ugly. He got the cat. He got the crap kicked out of him more than once. It was rough. But I don't know these cops no more. You guys, I've lost all, you know what, it's awful, it's ugly, and I know there's good cops out there, but I know there's a bunch of wimps
out there. Most of the cops are good. The trouble is that very few are willing to go against other police officers.
Yeah.
I mean, all the good ones know that.
And that's what it really is, kind of disgusting. So, love you guys.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you for calling.
Let's talk a second about Synergenics and Dr.
Without
Jim
the R, you always put an R in it
because it deserves one. They're that good. they get an extra R. It is an amazing ability to turn around your life, and you know your age is a number, but your biological age is how good care you take of yourself. We all don't take good care of yourself, but if you go to Synergenics, you can get a free consultation from Dr. Julie McCallum, and then there's 7 hours of tests if you decide to do it. And they say, okay, these parts of you are doing great. These other parts of you, we got to work on a little bit and improve a little bit. And they do it through diet regimens and hormones and vitamins and just everything to make you healthy. And boy, these days of coronavirus, it's a good time to be healthy. I can promise you that. So for a free consultation, you can talk to Julie McCallum just personally, 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. 3681. And it's Cenegenics with the R. No, Cenegenics.
Cenegenics.
And then an R there, just want to know.
No, don't.
I'm kidding.
People will never find it. It'll be people will never find
really
it.
Give her a call and say Chuck and Julie recommend her.
You know, I want to talk briefly, Chuck, and get your take on this too. Back to a couple other things we can get to Karen's in a second.
We're running out of time. I want to get to Karen's. I want to have the whole show on the Karen's.
No.
And now we have no time left.
But we can go. Let me just briefly talk about
briefly.
This.
Well, we got 5 minutes. There you go.
We
briefly.
Have 10 minutes. We have plenty of time. 888-627-6008 is the number. If you're with us on Zoom, just go ahead and unmute your mic and you can chime in. John, this is just breaking news, courtesy of Marianne Goodlin at Colorado Politics. Mm-hmm. We've had her on the show. She's the only reporter in the entire state that actually covers the Ethics Commission.
Right, right.
John Hickenlooper has found himself in a great deal of ethics trouble, right? And right. The ethics complaints have been filed against him. This occurred while he was governor, flying around, all kinds of action.
On other people's jets.
And other people's jets for political purposes.
Going to Italy,
and then going ahead and saying, well, I flew with, what was it, Tesla? Right?
Yes.
The Tesla. And then lo and behold, Tesla gets a bunch of cuts and benefits here in Colorado. And he said, well, I went to the wedding. It's like, no, he didn't go to the wedding. Anyway.
Well, see, I wasn't with that Tesla. I was with his brother.
With his
brother. It's okay.
Yeah, so it's totally
okay. You understand.
So. So the Independent Ethics Commission has been trying to hold hearings on this for a while now, which, of course, the Hickenlooper campaign does not want to have.
No.
He recently told them because of coronavirus, he couldn't testify. And they're like, well, no, it's
cool. Understand.
We can all be on Zoom. Like, we're on Zoom. Mm-hmm. The third graders are having their classes on Zoom. We can totally do it. And he said, no, his lawyer, and we'll get to the problem with his lawyer in a second. I'll give you my written responses. I'll give you a written statement. And they said, well, no, that's not actually the same as testifying.
Having your lawyer write up your answers is not the same
as you answering in person. On top of that, this is the worst part. His lawyer is actually being paid for. So it's not as if the state lawyers, which would be expensive anyway, are good enough for Hickenlooper. He has brought on a private lawyer, one of the most expensive lawyers in the state, who is being paid for out of taxpayer dollars, and not just any taxpayer dollars, but the 911 relief fund.
Well, sure.
Right? So Hickenlooper has taken...
But, you see, it's all okay because they took the private lawyer and made him a special assistant AG just for this case.
Therefore,
he's a state employee at $500 an
hour. My question is why...
Great.
Why is Hickenlooper? I mean, when
you may have noticed this all over the Denver Post, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, it's not there at all.
Vicki Marble, when she had an ethics complaint, she had to hire her own lawyer. If you're anybody but John Hickenlooper, you have to hire your own lawyer and pay for your own lawyer. Only John Hickenlooper.
No, Scott Kessler didn't have to pay his own lawyer, and it cost the state about $250,000 on each side of the.
On each side of this. But anyway, so Hickenlooper, but the good news is the State Ethics Commission, Independent Ethics Commission, told Hickenlooper, no, you have to show up. You have to show up. You can't just say, so there's a June 4th hearing. We'll see what happens. I could just see Hickenlooper. He's going to be fiddling. Oh, I can't hear anything. I can't understand anything. You know, like he's on the cell phone and it's not working. That's my prediction.
That's
what will
your
happen
prediction.
There. All right. Karen's. Chuck's
got 3 minutes.
We have more than three minutes.
No, we don't. I got 3 minutes.
Well, I don't think that lady, and people are probably familiar with the New York City thing where the incredibly privileged white woman,
middle-aged white woman
walking her dog in Central Park, chokes the dog while she's arguing with the guy about putting it on the leash. She calls the police and pretends like she's panicking that he's going to kill her. And the police come, although
and
they're
then
gone.
The only thing that came national is because his sister, the black guy's sister, said, you know, well, it's all another one of the Karens is out in Central Park. And I didn't know what a Karen was.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't think she should have got fired, though.
No, absolutely not. But she should have been arrested for filing a false police report and then fired.
Exactly. Yes, fired for a crime. Right.
But it was just hilarious. So I didn't know what a Karen was. I mean, what's a Karen? And then so I looked it up. And Julie's always arguing with me about what technically a Karen is because she has her own definition of Karen.
Which is the right definition.
Well, there is no right definition.
Minus.
So you're a Karen.
I'm going to be a Karen about Karens.
But it's a middle-aged white woman who's privileged and obnoxious and is always calling the manager of the store, manager of the restaurant because she doesn't like her meal, doesn't like this or that. And it's just that kind of See, 3 minutes left.
Well, we'll just finish your Cameron rant. We'll talk about Cameron. I think Cameron's are not going away.
But anyway, so now we've got a word for it. It's just like somebody calling you a boomer. Hey, boomer. Yeah. And you go, Generation X, jerk. And so now women need to be called Karens. And, you know, if you get a woman who comes up and she's obnoxious and middle-aged and white, you got to hear Karen. You're a Karen.
Well, I think men can be Karens, too.
Yes, they can be Karens. But you have to be Chad or something. They got to be Chads. Or
I don't know what. Yeah.
There's going to be – somebody's going to come up one for the usual bloviating guy.
Right.
But right now we've got the – bloviating, self-important, middle-aged
woman. And
hopefully
all of the backlash against the Karens will make them shut up and quit telling the rest of us to wear masks. Hey, right. That is going to just, I'm sorry, we'll have to talk more on your Karens later. I want to thank Dr. Brian Junedepth for coming on, talking about his, check him out at American Thinker. He's there all the time. Thank you to the guys at BBS. They do a great job. Thank you to Colorado Citizen Press.
And check out their article on why restaurants, a lot of restaurants are now going to go broke under Polis's kind of helping them out rules.
Right.
It's a great article.
Yeah, with help like this, who needs enemies?
Right,
so.
Right.
Hey, that'll do it for us. Everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us on Zoom. And we will see you on Party Friday.
Well, we like all of you. And if all you Karens can call in, we love calls from Karens. And so give us a call. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on Party Friday.